save big money on your next project. Now at Menards. Brighten up your garage or workspaces with LED utility and panel light bulbs from GT Light. GT Light light bulbs are energy efficient, and with their easy adjustable light panels, you can direct light where you need it most. Save big on all GT industrial utility and panel light bulbs. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for more hot deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I walk a straight line, shackle and chain. Oh, gruesome Gertie is calling my name. There is no mercy in this penitentiary. Just ask the Hill String Gang, Rango the Three.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to Bloody Angola, a podcast 142 years in the making, the complete story of America's bloodiest prison. I'm Jim Chapman. Woody is not going to be with us today. He is somewhere that I'm not really sure if I can say or not, but I can tell you he is working on a major case for real life, real crime coming, I think, in the next couple of months. But I have a great story to tell you, and we're going to take you back. I'm going to take you back a little bit to 1911, as a matter of fact, and we're going to go back to Halloween night of that year. And I'm going to tell you about two brothers, Renee and Lucien Canton. Now, the Canton brothers were not what you would call upstanding citizens or upstanding members of society. They grew up pretty rough, and they would rob, cheat, and steal to make ends meet at the drop of a frickin' hat without any hesitation. So on Halloween night of 1911, they decided to pull a robbery at a home. And this home belonged to a guy by the name of Edgar Farrar Jr. and his wife, May. Now, Edgar Farrar Jr. was a partner in a law firm in New Orleans, and it was known as Farrar, Jones, Goldsboro, and Goldberg. And he was also a renowned cotton broker in the area. And he had been married to May for 7 months at this time. And his wife was the daughter of a successful businessman, not only in New Orleans, but also in Pass Christian, Mississippi, where her family had businesses as well. And y'all, Pass Christian was about an hour from New Orleans. It just so happened on this Halloween night in 1911 that he and his wife were visiting in Pass Christian, Mississippi, when all this went down. Well, the Canton brothers, they saw an opportunity. They passed the Farrar's home, and it appeared as if no one was there. So they took it upon themselves to help themselves to silver vases, silverware, anything else that they could carry in their hands from the home. However, as they were exiting the home, the caretaker, a man by the name of Theophile Rogers, saw them carrying bundles of things as they left. But although he saw them with things in their hand, he didn't realize at that point that the home had been robbed. So the brothers, they leave and they head out to Bourbon Street. And there was a silver and gold dealer there. His name was Joseph Owens. And he bought those stolen goods for $60, which y'all, in 1911, $60 was a shit pile of money. And the brothers, they were feeling pretty good about this. Lucien, who was 20 years old at the time, he saw it as an opportunity to pay for the expense of traveling to Hot Springs, Arkansas, where he could receive a cure for syphilis. Syphilis was a rampant thing back in those days. And Renee, the other brother, he was 22, and he was also pretty happy. He could get his gun out of the pawn shop, which he did that very day, and he also planned on paying a few bills around town and getting back to Lena Canton, who was his first cousin. He actually lived with her, and he kind of consorted with her, if you know what I mean, for several years. So the brothers get the cash, they part, and they agree to meet up the next morning. So the next morning, Edgar Farrar and Miss May, they return and they realize, oh shit, we've been robbed. So they speak to the caretaker, and as he's telling them what he saw, he's mentioning to them, you know, I saw these guys, they were kind of by the house, they were carrying a bunch of stuff, but I didn't realize they robbed the house. He looks over and guess what he sees? Walking down the street are both brothers right in front of him. So he tells Farrar, he says, that's the guys I saw walking down the street with the bundles of stuff in their arms. And he and Farrar, they start following the brothers, but they're walking at a slow pace. They're not sure if the brothers are armed. They're trying to figure out how they're going to do this. So the brothers don't even realize they're being followed. In May, she watches her husband, Edgar, leave with Rogers, the caretaker, not realizing that was the last time she would ever see him alive. So Farrar and Rogers, they follow the Canton brothers for about 5 or 6 blocks in the French Quarter. And the Cantons, they weren't very big physically. They weren't intimidating. As a matter of fact, they were short and they were quite skinny. Edgar Farrar, however, he was a big man. He was tall. He weighed over 200 pounds. And when he saw his opportunity and he figured they weren't armed, he ran up behind the brothers and grabbed both of them at the same time. He then yells to Rogers to go get help. Renee Canton breaks away from the grip of Edgar Farrar, and he runs for about 15 steps. Then he turns around and he fires a shot from the gun he had just gotten out of hock the day before. Then he continues to run away. Farrar, who was shot at this point, slowly lets go of the other brother. And as he's fallen to the ground, he screams, "He got me!" and hits the concrete. So another man who witnessed this, he quickly grabs Lucen, who is the other brother, and he holds him until help arrived. And it did arrive. There was a guy that was a local grocery store owner and another man. They show up at the scene. The grocer runs back to his store and he gets a glass of water and he returns to Farrar, who at this point is lying on the ground. He's got blood coming from both nostrils and he slowly gives him that drink of water. That's all Edgar Farrar wanted. And without uttering another word, his head relaxes against the concrete and he dies right there on the street. Now, ambulances show up and Miss May, she hears all of this in the distance from five blocks away. She can hear just these screaming sirens from the police and the ambulances. And she takes off towards those sounds. And she eventually makes her way to Edgar Farrar and just screams at the horror that she sees as Edgar is dead on the sidewalk. So Lucen gets hauled to the police station, of course, and Farrar's body was taken to the home of his parents in New Orleans, where he would be buried the following day. So it didn't take long for the police. They were able to catch up with Renee as well, who had run away. And he was arrested at a house that he was using as a hideout. And under interrogation by the district attorney, both Lucen and Renee eventually confessed. So this was a bigger deal than the Canton brothers realized when they killed Edgar Farrar Jr. And it sparked major news, controversy all over the place with this case because Farrar was a big deal. He was a member of one of the proudest families in the South. He had been a direct descendant of Jefferson Davis, the former president of the Confederacy, right? On his mother's side, and the wife of Jefferson Davis on his father's side. He was considered one of the most promising attorneys in the country. His father, Edgar Farrar Sr., had recently completed a term as president of the American Bar Association. The president of the United States actually appointed his father superintendent of education for one of the nations recently acquired by the United States, which was the Philippines. And Edgar was highly educated. He had gone to Suwanee University in Tennessee and then got his law degree from the University of Virginia. And he could speak six different languages. And he was filthy fucking rich. So the headlines, they reflected this, the outrage of the murder of Edgar Farrar Jr. And the headlines would read, "Slain by two thieves." Another headline read, "Shot down by a thief." And y'all, in those days, being called a thief was about as big an insult as you could get. People would get hanged over calling someone a thief. And it was justifiable if you were not a thief and someone called you a thief to shoot him dead. That was okay. That was understood and justifiable in those days. So what do they do after this? They get these confessions and everything, and they do the same thing they would do today. They head to trial. And this trial, y'all, was so major that the district attorney himself would prosecute the case in the courtroom. A former state judge was assigned to defend the Cantons. And on November 4th of 1911, the brothers get indicted for the murder of Farrar. They enter a plea of not guilty, obviously, because they're going to go for the death penalty, right? And the judge sets the trial for December 14th of 1911. Now, eventually, that first trial would result in a hung jury. And its records from that first trial were not transcribed. So there is very little information about what happened in that first trial. We do know, however, that it was a four-day trial and there was a holdout that refused to vote for hanging the brothers. And they could not get this person to change their mind, and the judge eventually declared a mistrial. So the public, of course, again, was outraged by the fact that there was a mistrial, and a new trial was scheduled. And that new trial was scheduled for February 16th of 1912. And it was just a shorter version than the first. In the prosecution, they called five witnesses. One was a guy by the name of Captain George Long. He was the chief of detectives. A guy by the name of William Doyle, who was the assistant district attorney. A doctor by the name of Jay O'Hara, who was the coroner. And a guy by the name of L.T. French, who was a photographer for the Picayune newspaper. And all of these people were present during the interrogation where the Canton brothers confessed. And that's, they were like star witnesses, right? And back in those days, you could have like a crowd in a confession room, something you would never see these days. So the whole case rested on the fact that the defense was trying to say they were coerced into confessing, that they really didn't do this, even though it was in broad daylight and people saw it, right? So the defense gets up and they examine each witness and try to prove that those confessions were not voluntary acts. They actually said that the brothers were intimidated into confessing because that confession room was so crowded with so many people. And the defense also said a detective struck Renee Canton in the face while being transported from the jail. So the prosecution took over and they said, yep, that happened. He did punch him in the face, but it was because Renee was reaching for a police gun sitting on his cell bed. Which, was that true? Is that why he punched him? We'll never know. But it's a pretty interesting story nonetheless. I would be curious to know how a gun was sitting on the bed of Renee Canton's cell, but that is what they said. Now, one colloquy between the prosecution and Renee went like this. The prosecution asked, how did you happen to shoot Mr. Farrar? And Renee answered, he grabbed me, and I didn't know why he grabbed me. So I pulled out my gun, and I shot him. And the second he said that, the state rested its case. They got him to admit in court that he shot and killed Mr. Farrar. So long story short, in this trial, both brothers stood up as the verdict was read. And Renee Canton was found guilty on April 15th of 1912 and sentenced to be hanged by the neck until he is dead at Louisiana State Penitentiary in Baton Rouge, known as the Walls. Although Angola existed and was owned by the state at this time, it was still not where they held executions at this time. Lucien, however, he was found not guilty. So of course, just like today, even in 1912, you had an appeals process. However, back in those days, it didn't take years. It was like a couple of months, typically. So he did that. He appealed. He had nothing to lose. I mean, he was sentenced to be hanged. And he went through the process. But as we told you, this was a high-profile person that he killed. Those appeals went absolutely nowhere, which is the way it should have been. I mean, he did kill the guy, and eventually he exhausted all his appeals in that appeal process, and his execution was scheduled for December 6th of 1912. So, believe it or not, 8 days before the execution of Renee, a letter arrived, and that letter appealed for his clemency, and it was from an unexpected source, the father of Edgar Farrar Jr. His name was Edgar Farrar Sr., and here's what he wrote in that letter. This matter has been in our minds for some time, and after mature deliberation, all of us, father, mother, sisters, brothers, and widow of my son, have concluded to ask you to reprieve Renee Canton and send his case before the Board of Pardons for their consideration as to whether his sentence should not be commuted to imprisonment for life. We feel that this young brute is the product of our society, for which all of us, particularly persons in our position, are to some extent responsible. His father and mother are honest, hardworking people. With them, the struggle for existence was too bitter and exacting to permit them to devote the time and personal care necessary to develop the good and repress the evil in their son, who thus grew up amid the malign influences that surround the children of the poor in a large city. We believe that he shot my son as instinctively as a snake would strike one who crossed his path. And while his act was murder in law and in fact, yet it lacked that forethought and deliberation which makes a crime of this sort unpardonable. The man is now in no condition of mind to be sent into the next world. We hope and pray that time and reflection will bring repentance and that his soul may be received. Hey, y'all, it may be moving towards the end of another summer, but that doesn't mean I can quit watching what I eat. We all know home-cooked meals are so much better for you, but you don't always have time to pull it off. But with HelloFresh handling all the meal planning, shopping, and most of the prep, it's easier than ever to get dinner on the table quick and painless. There's always new flavors to explore with an ever-changing menu of 50 recipes to choose from every week. Just pick your meals and your delivery date. It's that simple. With summer in the rearview mirror and busier days ahead, now is the perfect time to save money when it comes to your dinner routine. Skip the meal planning and grocery store lines and cut down on food waste with HelloFresh's convenient doorstep delivery and pre-measured ingredients. My favorite aspect of HelloFresh is the vast array of menu options. Look, I can burn out on eating the same things over and over again, but with HelloFresh, I don't ever run out of options. Y'all, I tried the spinach one pan chicken last week, and all I can say is my mouth is still watering. It was that good. For free breakfast for life, go to HelloFresh.com/freebloodyangola. One free breakfast item per box while subscription is active. That's free breakfast for life just by going to HelloFresh.com/freebloodyangola. HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So I read you that for a reason, and I'm trying to paint a picture of this family, and they're good people. They have a ton of money, but it doesn't make them bad people. They were good people. And look, you kill my son, ain't no way I'm writing a letter saying you need a reprieve, but these are good people, and obviously forgiving people, I'm sure God-fearing people, and wrote a beautiful letter there. So the governor, he stayed the execution until the state pardon board could consider the case. And believe it or not, the letter worked. And Renee's death sentence was commuted to life in prison. This was on December 28th of 1912. So off to Angola, Renee goes. And this was the end of 1912, the start of 1913, right? And it was actually right after what was known as the Great Flood of 1912. Camps were underwater for 2 months during that flood. The crops were ruined. And that made food hard to come by for inmates. It also really hurt the money that was flowing through prisons at that time in the state of Louisiana. So conditions were probably the worst they have ever been, and they were bad at points. And Renee, he was assigned prison number 7464, and there's not a ton of information on Canton's life inside of Angola. However, it is known that in order to teach Renee the ropes, it was necessary to break him down, and they would do that by forcing him to do menial jobs and have him work long hours because he was considered a city boy. And back in those days, country boys were looked at better than city boys because they already knew how to do the work in the fields, right? You come from the city, you don't know what hoeing is and how to plant crops and things like that typically. Country boys did, so they didn't feel like they had to break them down as hard. They were used to working in the heat. They were used to working physically. City boys weren't, so Renee probably had it a lot tougher than some. Prison records do reflect that Canton was assigned to Camp E in Angola, which was a minimum security unit, and he actually made trustee in that unit. And get this. On July 15th of 1915, Canton escapes. Now, he wasn't captured until 3 days later, and records show that once they caught him, guess where they sent him? To the walls. The walls at that time was the only maximum security prison. All the camps at that time in Angola were still minimum and medium security, but the walls, that's where they sent you at that time when you had escape issues. So what did they do to prisoners back then when they would escape? Well, it's theorized that he probably got a pretty bad beating after he got caught. He probably got from 25 to 65 lashes with the bat, which was a 3-foot leather strap about 3 inches wide, and it's riveted into a wooden handle, which is 18 inches long. It was considered more humane than what was used prior to that, which was known as the cat with 9 tails. The bat functioned very similar to the cat of 9 tails, but it didn't cut the skin as quickly or as easily. So it was looked at as a more humane way of flogging a prisoner. And believe it or not, escape, that wasn't that big a deal. It was kind of like the name of the game. the prisoner was going to try to escape, no matter who they were, and the correctional officers were going to try to catch you. And if you could get out of the parish you were in, the chase would typically stop. So if you escaped Angola and you made it to Shreveport, unless some officer in Shreveport recognized you, you're probably going to get away with it. I mean, you got to remember, in those days, they didn't have APBs necessarily. I mean, this is 1912. They did, you know, a picture of somebody. They had papers, and I'm sure a picture was released, but it was not something where they were chasing you all over the place. As a matter of fact, if you made it over the border into another state, you were pretty much home free, because until the late 1930s, states didn't chase inmates beyond borders. That was considered out of their jurisdiction, and you just got away and don't ever come back, you know? So Canton, he ends up at the walls. And it's estimated that he was there for around the next 3 years. And Wilbert Rideau, who I sourced for a lot of the information in this podcast, he described the walls and the situation with regard to the Louisiana penal system during this time. And it was pretty good. He said the Louisiana legislature was busy abolishing the border control and replacing it with a general manager who would take charge of the state prisons. The rebuilding was necessary after the Great Flood of 1903 and 1912, which not only took profits from the prison system, but also additional funding had to be appropriated just to keep the system going. I mean, prisons were about to go out of business, which is not a good thing. And so they appointed a general manager by the name of Henry Fuqua, who was a businessman. Fuqua said there had been 15 years of control at the prisons that didn't work. He said the biggest thing was they weren't making any money and whipping the hell out of convicts between 1912 and 1916 wasn't doing any better. So Fuqua, who owned hardware stores, he decides to treat prisons as more of a business. And instead of trying to work the people to death and get more out of them, which wasn't working anyway, he said, well, why don't we look at cutting overhead? The new idea was let's cut overhead and try to make more money. And the biggest overhead they found was in payroll. So he comes up with an idea and he says, hey, why don't we use inmates to guard themselves and other inmates? Because they understand inmates more than anybody else would. And it worked at that time. So all the guards were fired throughout prison systems in Louisiana, except for 11. 11 guards were kept on. Everybody else was fired to try to save money. He also eliminated the wearing of stripes and replaced them with white shirts and pants. And the reason he did this was it was just cheaper. And he began a system of record keeping, creating a file of each individual convict. They kept files on some they didn't. It was very sporadic. He came up with a system, and that system actually lasts until today. In 1918, Fuqua, he sells the walls. He actually sold it to the city of Baton Rouge. And he decides that all operations would be moved to Louisiana State Penitentiary at Angola. And he sold the walls, incidentally, for $45,000. And at the time it was sold, Rene Canton, he gets transferred back to Angola, and he gets transferred back to Camp E. And prison records show no issues out of Canton from then on out. Now, the last piece of information available in prison records show that Rene Canton was released from prison on July 7th of 1923. Now, since Canton was sentenced to life, The only way he could get clemency where he was actually released from prison was from the governor. And newspaper accounts from that time indicate the governor, a guy by the name of John Parker, at the recommendation of the general manager, who was Fuqua, and the Board of Pardons, asked him to consider Canton for clemency. But he refused to act on that recommendation until he heard from the family of the victim. And he finally heard from Miss Edgar Farrar Sr., who at that time was living in Gulfport, Mississippi. And she recommended his release and said it was a comfort to her to know that there is hope for a man who brought misery to so many people's lives. So the governor, he then signs the commutation freeing Canton. And the governor told Canton, you basically owe this commutation to the mother of the man whose life you took. You now owe her your life and liberty, and your future conduct should be that will reflect her actions. And I thought that was pretty cool and well said. The victim's sister also said in a newspaper article that she was glad that this man is to have another chance. It wasn't as if my brother had been shot down through a feeling of hatred. And if the murder had been premeditated, we should feel differently on the matter. But Canton was running at the time he fired, then shot my brother, who was a big, strong man. And it was probably through the instinct of self-preservation that the deed was done. Canton had been in prison for more than 10 years, and I believe he has had a stiff enough punishment and perhaps will lead a better life from now on. So that was from the victim's sister. Interestingly enough, Henry Fuqua, who made that recommendation for Canton to be released, would resign his position in 1924 and be elected governor of the state of Louisiana. As for Canton, as he was being released from prison and walking out of the gates, a reporter asked him, what are you going to do now that you're out of prison? And he said, I'm going west. He said he owed his freedom to the dead man's heartbroken mother. And he added, without her, I would still be in prison.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Brighten up your garage or workspaces with LED utility and panel light bulbs from GT Light. GT Light light bulbs are energy efficient, and with their easy adjustable light panels, you can direct light where you need it most. Save big on all GT industrial utility and panel light bulbs. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for more hot deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
A year and a half later, Canton died of tuberculosis at the age of 36 at a home in New Orleans. And whether Canton ever redeemed himself in the fashion expected of him, the world will never know. And even more interesting is the legacy that the Farrar family has left on the prison system. A niece of Edgar Farrar Sr. was Margaret Dixon, who eventually became the managing editor of the Baton Rouge-based Morning Advocate. The newspaper was a watchdog over state institutions and the people within them. Dixon was also an advocate for penal system reform and heavily interested in the treatment of prisoners during the 1950s and 1960s, which Woody and I tell y'all all the time, those were the bloodiest of the bloody years at Bloody Angola, bar none. She was also recognized for her contributions and concern for her fellow man by having a state penal facility. Dixon Correctional Center, known as DCI in Jackson, Louisiana, dedicated in her name. And already named in her honor was the Front Gate Visiting Room at Louisiana State Penitentiary in Angola, and that was dedicated to her memory in the mid-1970s. Dixon's niece, who was the great niece of Farrar Sr., is a lady by the name of Margaret Bolton, and she served as member and vice chairman of the Louisiana Board of Pardons under Edwin Edwards' second administration. And though she's no longer involved in the criminal justice system, she has been a substance abuse counselor with the Department of Health and Human Resources, and she makes frequent visits to prisons to attend functions of inmates, self-help organizations, etc. So there's a whole legacy there with the Farrar family that started with the murder of Edgar Farrar Jr. And it's pretty mind-blowing to me that something so horrible, all these good things, can come out of something so horrible. And I think that speaks to that family and, you know, just the goodness of their heart that they were able to overlook, because there was a lot of reasons to hate prisoners, right? And they've done so much, that family, since that time. And that was a heck of a story, and I wanted to bring that to y'all. I really enjoyed learning all about that family. That's all I got for you today. Thank you to all the Patreon subscribers. Incidentally, for our top tier subscribers, our warden team, gifts will be going out. Quarterly gifts will be going out to you at the end of this month. And we have probably the best one, definitely, not probably, the best ones we've ever had that we're sending you. You are going to love them. And I'm not going to tell you what it is, but it's awesome. So thank you so much. We couldn't do this without the support of patrons. I can promise you that. And if you can't support, we get it. We love you. Just share the show. That would help. And that would be a great way of supporting. Check out all the other stuff we do. Look, Real Life Real Crime Daily with me and Woody. If you're not familiar with that, go check out Real Life Real Crimes feed. Also, the original that Woody Everton does is Fire Has Been Fire since 2019. Go check that out. And Exposed, Scandalous Files of the Elite, my podcast. I talk about more well-known figures in society in a lot of cases, but I cover primarily adjudicated cases, every now and then some that are not necessarily adjudicated. I got one going on now with Matthew Perry that I've been covering that has not been adjudicated, but we're covering documents, things like that, things in the case that you're not necessarily going to hear in the media. So you love that. Go check it out. Exposed, Scandalous Files of the Elite. We're available wherever you get your podcast. And until next time, I'm Jim Chapman. For Woody Everton, we are the host of Bloody Angola, a podcast 142 years in the making, the complete story of America's bloodiest prison. Peace.
I walk a straight line, shackled and chained. Oh, gruesome Gertie is calling my name. There is no mercy in this penitentiary. Just ask the Hillstring Gang, Wrangler 3.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.